In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, there was Paul Brown.
Paul Brown transformed the game.
Hello, Paul Brown here. Welcome to the first ever International Browns Podcast.
Good morning, Cleveland. Good morning, Bengal fans. Good morning, Paul Brown Stadium. I'm here today with a UK show. I'm here with Paul from Bengals UK. Paul, how are you?
Very good, Paul. How are you, man? Thanks for having me on again.
No, thank you, because you're the man with the knowledge and we're here to learn. So your wisdom to learn more about our division. And Jack, you're on the show as well. How are you, Jack?
I'm good. I'm really looking forward to these shows because what we want to do is really get in deep with the division. So for the next 3 weeks, we're getting on a different division team within the division each week. And we're really going to have a deep dive into free agency, who's in, who's out with the team, who they might be targeting. Because at the end of the day, you got the six of them games every year against your division. And if you win them games, you've usually got a good shot on winning that division. So we're going to have a really good deep dive, just not this week, but all season. We're going to be bringing people back to have that really good chat in each stage of the season. Let's find out, are the Browns in a position where they can go and win?
And I've got to give Paul credit. Your Facebook and your Twitter, Bengals UK, is awesome. Lots of cool ideas. You get football players on. Mate, you're doing a really good job.
Thank you, Paul. That's from you and your... I mean, the last thing I saw from you, you were cooking up an English breakfast on the weekend, which was a genius idea, but also made me really hungry. So maybe you're going to get your own Browns-flavoured cookery show on the go. Maybe we could do like a Bengals-Browns cook-off at some point.
Ooh. That sounds good. And my next twist is going to be Paul Brown, the Englishman's going to try and cook an American breakfast. Now, they're going to have a laugh about that. Jack, this is not a cooking show. Tell us about what's going on in the AFC North.
So we're going to kick it off first. It's the team in the division that's had the other coaching change. So what did you make of that? And poor old Hughes out. Every Browns fan was actually cheering for Hugh Jackson to get the job, but it didn't work out. What do you make of the coaching change?
Well, Hugh is I mean, I think most Bengals fans also breathe a huge sigh of relief, only because I think he was associated with Marvin, and a lot of Bengals fans wanted a clean sweep of change. They wanted change to kind of gust through the corridors of Paul Brown Stadium. They wanted Marvin out. They wanted Hugh out. And of course, they were afraid that if Marvin was gone, because once upon a time, before Hugh came to you guys, of course, there was a succession plan in place where Marvin would go upstairs and Hugh would become the head coach. Now, that obviously went awry when he left Cleveland and then he had his disaster in Cleveland. So, and then when he came back to the Bengals for the last half dozen games of the season, last season, it was kind of obvious that there could, you know, if Marvin wants to go, that succession plan was back in place. So a lot of Bengals fans were very fearful of Hugh becoming a head coach. Not because we thought, I mean, I think the majority of Bengals fans know him as a very decent offensive coordinator and offensive mind and coach and a good guy, but it was pretty obvious that he couldn't really hack it as head coach for whatever reason.
Yeah, so for me, the move, I thought it was a bold move, and I'd rather teams were bold and went for something that it could be a disaster, but it's got the potential to be really good. Whereas someone like Adam Gase as a signing, he's not going to be a disaster, but he's never going to be incredible. So it's that rather than take the comfortable middle road where you can be okay, I'd rather a team, and we did the same thing with the Browns. Freddie Kitchens could be great and has the real chance to be awesome, but it could go wrong. And I would rather just teams went out there and be bold. There's no advantage in being another middling team. So who knows which way it's going to turn out.
I think that's why Bengals fans are really, really excited because, or generally speaking, excited. There is some caution in there as well. So it's kind of cautiously optimistic at the moment. But as you say, and as I said before, this organisation has got such a reputation quite rightly, for being super conservative, for drafting and developing, not splashing in free agency, continuity within the coaches. You know, you can't get more continuity than keeping a guy like Marvin Lewis in the same position for 16 years. So for them to actually tear everything up and get someone completely new in and get rid of the whole, pretty much the whole coaching staff, it is quite remarkable, actually, and a little bit scary. But as you say, it's either going to be fantastic and the real breath of fresh air that, you know, a lot of Bengals fans have been calling for, pleading for you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, or it could be a complete disaster. Now, if it's a disaster, I think you're right. I think Bengals fans would actually forgive the organisation, the front office, a little bit, because they're actually doing something. They're actually showing ambition. They've recognised that the NFL has changed dramatically in the last couple of years, and they need, you know, new, fresh ideas. They need a guy who understands and utilises the whole analytics side of coaching, which is big now. Jack's fist pumping in the air there.
I love me some analytics.
You know, so it, I think it, the Bengals at least have acknowledged that a change has needed to come, which is a shock in itself. B, that change has to be bold, has to be a young guy, has to be up with the current trends in the NFL. So, yeah, it's exciting, but we're a bit cautious as well.
Excellent. And last question on the coaching is 0 to 10, a number, Paul. What number are you going to rate the highest to you?
It's a good question. Me personally, and I can't speak for all Bengals fans, I was really excited until he hired Jim Turner, which, again, you can Google Jim Turner and the whole bullying thing, only because, you know, our current Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, Carlos Dunlap, campaigns against bullying. So to hire a guy that was embroiled in all that, and there was some mild scandal at Texas A&M as well, put a bit more of a bitter taste. So I think he's actually gone from, I wouldn't say destroyed all his goodwill, but there's a sense that some of that sheen has been, that lacquer has been kind of rubbed off a little bit. But we've just got to trust him. So, I'm still excited. I think the search for a defensive coordinator has been a bit of a mess. You'd have expected someone to be in place pretty much. You know, that's such a key position, right? So, I quite like our new offensive coordinator. He sounds quite good. Brian Callahan, who came across from the Raiders. So, we have got a young coaching team in place. So, I think at the moment, I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay.
But obviously, that potentially could you know, go nuts up to 9, depending on how we start the season, you know.
Excellent.
So, if we move on to the players, free agents up this year, sort of, who are those players that you think you're going to re-sign, and who are those you think you're moving on from, and will be leaving the franchise?
I think this would be an easier question to answer if Marvin was still head coach, because you kind of know which positions he values, which position, you know, again, mentioning that word again, continuity. We've always been pretty good at kind of, you know, re-signing our own guys, the guys that we drafted. But a new head coach brings more uncertainty, because we don't quite know what the system is going to be. So, for instance, the tight end position is really interesting with the Bengals this offseason, because all three tight ends, Tyler Eifert, CJ Uzoma, and or Uzoma, depending on how you want to pronounce it, and Tyler Croft, are all free agents this offseason. Now, if you look at Zach Taylor's system in LA, those, you know, the tight ends weren't utilized as much as, say, they used to be in Cincinnati. So it just depends on which way Taylor wants to go. I'd expect maybe one of those guys to be re-signed. Tyler Eifert is a real fan favourite. I mean, you look back to 2015 when we had that tremendous season. He was, you know, he'd been playing at a Pro Bowl level, one of the better tight ends in the league, I would say, a real mismatch nightmare, especially in the red zone. But obviously, he's had awful luck with injuries. So, you know, do we stick with Tyler Eifert? I think most fans would say yes. We'd love to stick with him maybe for another prove it deal for a year. But he might want to, you know, go elsewhere and try his luck. I always think, you know, especially if Gronk retires, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in somewhere like New England, you know. So, yeah, tight end positions is a bit iffy going into the off-season. As I say, I expect one of those three to be signed. If I had to bet on one, it's probably going to be CJ Uzoma.
So, is there anyone sort of on the Bengals that you're looking at? And we've obviously got Jamie Collins as Browns fan, so we're going, that guy's getting cut. Is there anyone you're sort of looking at and going, he's going to be a cap casualty?
The thing is, with a new head coach, he often, especially with a guy who's worked with quarterbacks before, the big question is whether he wants to carry on with Andy Dalton. Now, his contract is up in a couple of years. He's on a very team-friendly deal. So there wouldn't be too much of a hit financially if we cut him now. And Andy Dalton's a very difficult one to quantify because he's not awful. And he's not brilliant. He's somewhere in the middle. He's probably just above average. He had a tremendous season in 2015. He's not repeated that since. He looked $1 million in the first four games or so last year. And then obviously got injured towards the end of the season. But he took a little bit of a drop off as well. But certainly to start with, he was terrific. Probably as good as he's ever looked, I thought. But with a lot of Bengals fans want to see us draft a Kyler Murray, want to see us draft a Dwayne Haskins or someone like that. You know what fans are like. They get caught up in the whole kind of Dalton. Dalton isn't rubbish. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Zach Taylor kept him on, only because Taylor will run the West Coast offense. And one of Dalton's strengths is getting the ball out really quickly. And he is essentially a West Coast kind of style quarterback. So I personally think he'll keep Dalton, but there is the suggestion out there, and whether it's just a fan rumor, fan speculation, that he'll get rid of Dalton to bring his own guy in to mold. But I'm not quite sure whether that's going to happen.
Yeah, if I was looking at it, Dalton, just looking at PFF's number 13th best quarterback last year, so had a good year. Not an elite year, but just a very good year. And then he's got no dead cap the next 2 years. Quarterback class isn't great this year. They're saying next year's really good. So if I was in that position, I'm going, right, we're going to sit on it a year. Let's not panic because the options aren't there. If it was last year's quarterback class, I'd be going, yep, address it this year. This is the year. Go grab one. I'd say you wait until next draft, not the upcoming draft, the 2020 draft. You grab one then, and then you just phase it out. Whenever that rookie is ready to take over Dalton, you can just cut him and no dead cap. You can trade him off if another team wants him and a quarterback goes down, or you can just leave him the year as a backup. So for me, I would say you keep him his last 2 years. He's only got 2 years left. And sort of Bengals is one of them teams that they don't really like cutting players if they can get away with it. So you can let him just run out them last 2 years. He then hits the market and you'll probably have decent play, but not outstanding play this year. And then it takes the pressure off that rookie, because even though some rookies come in, like Baker was ready to start week one, obviously the decision weren't made that way, but he was ready. Russell Wilson was ready. If you've got the quarterback and they can step up and take over, great. And it gives them that bar that if you're a rookie that comes in 2020, you've got to beat out Andy Dalton. You've got the job in a year's time, but you've got to beat him out. And I think that'd be a really, really good way for you guys to move forward. Whether it happens that way, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I think that's definitely an option, Jack. You know, the talk is that if you did draft a quarterback this year, you let him sit and you use Dalton as a bridge. Or you wait until 2020 and draft someone in a class that's going to be a lot a lot better for quarterbacks and a lot more exciting. I personally don't see them getting rid of Dalton this season. I think he'll be back for another. He's certainly going to play out his contract. What the Bengals do after that was going to be really interesting. Another player that is being talked about a lot is Vontaze Burfict. Now, our linebackers are an absolute shower at the moment. And Burfict is included in that. For the past three or four seasons, he's been suspended for the first four games of each year. He's a real fan favourite. Whatever you say about Burfict, he's a real fan favourite. He's one of those guys, a bit like Baker Mayfield, actually, who, if he's on your team, you absolutely love because he's just, I don't know how to describe him, really. He's a good player, first and foremost, but that obviously gets overshadowed with his kind of antics, shall we say. And he gives it all. He's one of those passionate guys and all the rest of it. So he's a real fan favourite. If he's not on your team, you actually despise him because he's a dirty old sod. But I think with Burfict, certainly for the past year and a half, he came back last year from his four-game suspension, was out of shape, played really badly, was concussed several times. Again, his tackling technique is up for debate. He's leading with his helmet, leading with his head a lot, which is something we saw in his early years. And I remember having Twitter conversations going, this guy's not going to be able to have a very long NFL career because the way he tackles is just, it's almost like NFL suicide, you know? So I think a lot of people, we're not getting any production from him, basically. A, because he's suspended all the time. B, he's just not very good anymore. And C, he keeps getting concussed and you've got to worry for his long-term health, actually. So I think a lot of Bengals fans would like to see him cut and certainly a fresh start at linebacker. And, you know, that's a position that we are, I would imagine, going to be looking very closely at during free agency and the draft as well.
So one more position room I'd really love to ask about. O-line is obviously a weakness of the Bengals. It's sort of, there's got that ongoing debate, which of them two position rooms are they going to focus more on this offseason? I put my, lots of much smarter people than me are saying linebacker. I've put my neck out and gone O-line is going to be their focus. But
well, it needs to be both. It needs to be both, frankly. 2015 was both a great year and then at the end of that year, a very bad year because Andrew Whitworth left and a certain Kevin Zeitler left. And I'm not going to go into all that because, you know, we, as Bengals fans, we've all, you know, it's kind of like we've been talking, you know, why do we, you know, lots of hand-wringing and gnashing of teeth. Why do we let Whitworth go? Why do we let Zeitler go? Zeitler was actually, you know, understandable. We weren't prepared to pay him the money that you guys were. But certainly Whitworth, we could have made a bit more of an effort to keep. We haven't replaced them, basically. We made a good stab at it last year by trading for Cordy Glenn, who had a solid enough season. We've got Clint Bowling, who is a very solid left guard. We drafted Billy Price in the first round last year and took a bit of time for him. He started off reasonably well, got injured like the most of the Bengals team last year, unfortunately, but then came back and kind of was a bit up and down. So you're looking for a major step forward for him in his development in year two. You know, God knows we need it. But it's just that right-hand side of the line was an absolute disaster. They decided to go with free agent Bobby Hart, who was picked up from the Giants. And I think he was an undrafted free agent, Alex Redmond. And, yeah, they just weren't very good. False start, Bobby Hart, we used to call him. And I think the Bengals finished in 26th in tackle for loss rate allowed, 22nd in adjusted line yards, 19th in adjusted sack rate. You know, it's just not good enough. And we've always been known, actually, in Cincinnati for having a decent offensive line. And it's been really frustrating because we keep talking about it. It seems like we keep talking about this So yeah, look for the Bengals to maybe go look at the Dolphins free agents because of Dak Taylor's connections there. Look for the Bengals to have a little tickle on the Raiders offensive line because our new offensive coordinator and running backs coach has just come over from the Raiders. You might be looking at Roger Saffold from the Rams, the right guard, and also Juwan James from, I think he's from
the Dolphins. Yeah, Dolphins right tackle. He's a solid signing.
That would be perfect. So yeah, I mean, it's no secret that offensive line and linebacker are the absolute needs because we need to find two more offensive linemen, two starting quality offensive linemen, and also two starting quality linebackers. There's a few cheeky, sneaky needs. Maybe we could do with a little bit of depth on the defensive line. We could do with a bit of proven depth at cornerback. And we could maybe, and I think actually a bigger need out of all them is defensive end. Veteran Michael Johnson is a free agent. I wouldn't expect him to be back. He's been a really good servant to us and a good, solid player. But we need, I think this might be a draft actually rather than a free agency thing. I think we need a really, a nasty defensive pass rushing defensive end to go with those linebackers and the offensive line.
Thank you so much for coming on and giving us that fantastic look. We're going to have you back. We really like you. Our fans really like you. They're really always come back with some positive comments saying you give really good input. Plug yourself. Where can people find you on Twitter? Where's your podcast? Everything else.
Right. Okay. We are on Twitter at @Hooday_UK, Bengals UK on Facebook. Our podcast is called Cincinnati. And that is on iTunes and Spotify and SoundCloud. So go search for that. It continues to grow. We've obviously got the London game this year, which is really exciting. So, yeah, it's going to be a heck of a year, I think. And hopefully it's going to be exciting on the field. And I think I said to Paul in our previous chat, I think the Bengals-Browns rivalry is now on. Back on.
Now we're talking.
Back on. And that's because of Baker.
Are you going to come across to the Paul Brown Stadium this year when the Browns turn up?
Well, I was planning a trip over, but I think because the Bengals were over this year, I'll get to see him in London. So.
Excellent.
No worries. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Go rate the review, the pod, 5 stars on wherever you get it from. We're on Spotify now. We're on everywhere else. If we're not anywhere, let us know. And Paul will sort that out. Follow Paul on Twitter and Instagram. It's @PaulBrown_UK. I'm @Jack Duffin. Thank you so much for listening, and welcome to the Danger Zone.